understanding how you're wired, understanding how what gifts and talents that you have, and surrounding yourself with the people that offset some of those gifts and talents is really important, especially, you know, when you're being an entrepreneur, you may not have the experience. So seeking out a mentor, you know, to speak into your life because they've already been through that. So on today's episode of C-Level, I have Billy Van Eaton. He is the CEO of Cumberland Landscape Group. He's also an entrepreneur, fellow entrepreneur. So Billy, welcome.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
So I'm excited about today's episode because we're going to be talking about entrepreneurship and just, you know, running companies. But I want to get a little bit of a background on you. So how did you get into it, and how'd you start? Where are you from originally, and how'd you get going into entrepreneurship?
Yeah, great. I grew up in Oklahoma originally, and then Alabama, and so moved kind of all in the Southeast. And I went to college up in Virginia at a spot called Hampden-Sydney College, which is a small all-male liberal arts college, and I studied economics and finance, and I really loved that. And so I ended up getting a job in banking here in Atlanta at SunTrust, and did that for a few years, and worked with another bank, but did that for a little while, and really I was very grateful and appreciative for the job, sitting in a cube farm was miserable for me. And so I put in the time that I felt like I needed to do, and was faithful with that, and then also started companies during that time. And so I started my first company that was a demolition company, and I had two partners. And so we'd go into commercial spaces, and we'd blow out floors or ceilings or walls and kind of get it ready for construction. And that was kind of the first time that started to learn about how to run a business, how to start it, how do you manage employees, what's that look like, what's HR, what's accounting. I mean, some of these basic things that I studied in college in finance classes, but and then trying to get the things you learn in college into real world are sometimes different or difficult to blend those. So that's really kind of how I started. And then I got fired from a job in 2009. And I got fired from my job in real estate, which was just like anybody that's been fired, it's really hard. It's like getting it's a gut punch. And so I was working at Ace Hardware, and had a guy tutoring me, had a guy mentoring me through that process, and ended up kind of having this crazy idea to go buy a company. And I didn't really have money to do that. I didn't know how to buy a company, but this guy Steve kind of led me through this process, and I've really learned that I can start things, but I'm much better at editing things. Mm-hmm. In order to edit something, you need to have momentum. And the way you get momentum in business is to buy a company. And so it's kind of like, cool, let's go do that. And yeah. So I spent a few years, there's a tag word for it now called entrepreneurship through acquisition, mm-hmm. Also called a search fund. I didn't know that was a thing at the time. This was 10 years ago. And it really wasn't a thing at that time, but now it's become a big buzzword. It's kind of, some people call it private equity in a box, but it's basically where you raise money and you go look to buy one company and run and grow that one company. And I spent 2 years doing that process, meeting with investment bankers and private equity folks and business brokers all across the board, and learning just how does this work, and really leveraging that finance background of understanding how cash flow works and understanding how to write financial models, and narrowed it down to companies that were, my tagline was, I wanted something that was simple, proven, and scalable. So by definition, technology is not simple, it's not proven, but it's highly scalable, but that did not meet my criteria. One company I looked at was a bomb remediation company, where they'd go into war-torn areas and pull out bombs from the ground that didn't go boom, and it was an incredible company. Very lucrative. I hope it was simple. I wasn't really sure. I really hope it was proven, because you don't want to mess up on that.
Definitely.
And scalable, I guess. I mean, it's a very niche industry, but that industry like sounded fascinating, but that was too complicated for me. So something like landscaping is what we ended up buying. So landscaping is something that is simple. It's been around for a long time. Grass keeps growing. It's proven. It's a long-standing industry. It's mature. It's need-based. So there's always a need for us, and it's scalable in kind of an old business operations mindset, where if you have really good accounting, really good account management, good sales, good operations, kind of some of these old school business ideas, then if you just do those well, then it seems like you could win the game.
That's great. You know, you're a man after my own heart. So, you know, I same thing, entrepreneur. There's a lot of things that what you're saying relate to our experience. I've owned several companies, and actually this is the first time that I'm hearing entrepreneurship through acquisition, because I've always dove in. Like I'm an ideas guy, and I'm also a strategies guy. And so I have an idea and I put processes and procedures and I just go. But I'm the same exact way, where I like to get it to a point where I can then let it run and then work on something else, right? And so I've always had the strategy. I started that way, and it seems like you have too, where, you know, you jump in, you decided to start a business, which I believe is great. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs need to do that, is experience that. Go start your own thing, hire and fire people, and get, have clients buy from you and have clients, you know, leave you. You're going to need to experience all that, because it's going to happen. And I think those real world experiences in business will set you up to be a great business owner, a great entrepreneur, because now you know what to look for when you do this acquisition through entrepreneurship, right? You know, like you said, something that's proven that actually is viable, that's going to make money, but you could also have a better handle on the processes and procedures because you experienced it from growing your own business from the ground up. So I think you know, starting out with something, you know, whether even if it's a little small business, it doesn't matter, because the process and procedures are the same. They just scale, right? They just get bigger. So generally it's the same. And having that experience, so when you do go and purchase your first business, you're going to be that much more educated.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's, since the entrepreneurship through acquisition, or ETA is what some people call it as well, since that has evolved, I didn't know this at the time, but there've been a ton of studies that entrepreneurship through acquisition has a much higher success rate, so a much higher return on equity than just starting a business from scratch. And so there's a bunch of data now that actually supports going out and buying a small business. And to your point, Chris, I mean, big or small, you still need good processes. There's still stuff that's broken in every business and mm-hmm. needs to be fixed and mended. But I tell you, man, there, you know, if you've run a business before, which you have, I remember the first person I fired was brutal. She cried in the middle of us letting her go. Like, she was not getting her job done. There was some personal stuff going on with her, and it was really hard. And she asked me, how am I going to pay my rent at the end of this conversation? And it was like, I don't know, and I'm really sorry. It was brutal. And so there's, I do think that society can make entrepreneurship this kind of sexy thing where I started a company and made all this money. It was awesome. I have a big yacht now, or whatever this stuff is. And I think it's the opposite, actually. I think that it's probably more of like a calling of like, I am built like this. And so I need to go do this and steward the way that I'm built. And then it's trial by fire.
Yep.
I mean, no book or class I took was going to prepare me for when I fired that person and they started crying in front of me. It's like, man, that is brutal.
It's the unsaid things that it's not spoken about entrepreneurship. You know, it's all the glamorous things, but it's those things that, you know, there's no schooling that's going to teach you that, you know, and it's the nice guy syndrome, right? It's like, you kind of learn that quick. I have that nice guy syndrome. I realized, because when I had to fire my first person, it was the same thing. I was like, it was awful. It was horrible. But at the end of the day, it's like, we've got to steward the businesses that either, you know, we've purchased, we've grown, if we have a board, whatever it is, as a CEO, right? It's so, understanding that you're going to have to learn, you know, some really hard lessons that the real world will teach you, but school books won't. And I was like the same, you know, same thing. Like I didn't go to school for business. I just bought a lot of businesses, right? I started a lot of businesses, and that's how I learned trial by fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that guy that fired me in that real estate job, it was brutal. I mean, it was just, it crushed me. But it was also one of the best management lessons I've ever had. Because yep. He just like cussed me out when he was firing me. Yeah. And it was just humiliating. And it was like, that is not how you should fire someone.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. And we get a lot of those questions too. Is like, you know, hey, this, how, you know, it's, leave on good terms, you know? I mean, like, the thing is that person, you know, no one starts a company to get fired. Like, no one wants to start working for a company and have in mind, I'm gonna get myself fired. Sometimes it just doesn't work out, you know? Sometimes it's just not the right fit. And when I look at every one of these situations, it's my fault. I hired that person. It's my fault. I should have done a better job and to figure it out. And what I always tell people is, listen, if they're not working in this position, try to find a position, unless they're doing something, you know, not ethical, right? But find a position that suits their skill set the best. Because maybe when you brought them on, it wasn't the right fit, but helping them find the right fit. Because if you have a happy employee that's doing what they're naturally good at, that they love doing, it's going to be easy for them. But what the problem with some of these large companies is, they're hiring these people and force fitting them into roles that they're just not good at. And I think to eliminate those things is being in communication with your employee and checking, especially now, because, you know, during this recording, so, you know, during the coronavirus and everything like that, a lot of things are changing in business. Being in communication with your people, finding out where they're at, finding out their emotional health, that type of thing, to mitigate any issues that could arise.
Yeah, I mean, I had a friend that worked at McKinsey, which is a big consulting company, and he used this phrase that I guess is a McKinsey thing, that they, when someone's not the right fit for a job, they try to help them find another job. Mm-hmm. As opposed to just firing them.
Yep.
And I think that there is an art in firing people with dignity. I think in running a business, you're going to fire people. That's just how it works. But I think there's a way to learn how do you do it with dignity so that people don't leave feeling like completely stripped and ripped open. Mm-hmm. It's still painful, and it's not your job to care for them emotionally in that way.
Yep.
But I think that there is a way to try to do that.
This is a great topic because, you know, because of the coronavirus, you know, it's forcing layoffs and stuff, and nobody wants that, but no one predicted this. And at the end of the day, being open, especially if you're running a smaller company, you know, being open with your employees of where you're at financially, it's like, hey, listen, you know, these are the funds that are coming in, these are the funds that are going out. We can't make this work. However, there are things that you can do. Like, you know, if it's cutting back on, you know, an agreed upon on wages, or maybe I'm going to hire you back. I mean, I know I'm talking without the federal government helping us, but, you know, it's stuff like that, working with them and having a good relationship to where, hey, you know, when things start picking up, I am going to hire you back because you are a great employee. It's just the work's not there. And I think working with them and figuring out a solution together is what's going to help a lot of the stressful conversations that's going to happen through all this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, in times like we're in right now, where we're in this massive pandemic and people are having furloughs and layoffs and it's really scary. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think as entrepreneurs, we can try to be opportunistic and figure out where is that opportunity. And for us, that's played out so far in that one of our largest competitors did a massive furlough of all their business developers. We've been looking for another business developer. And so we actually just hired someone from there that wouldn't have left that company. They were there, they've been there for years. And so I think there's a great opportunity for people that want to be opportunistic to try to hire people like that, that get let go because of some corporate restructuring and corporate mandate, and folks like us that don't have all that red tape, we can really take advantage of that to set ourselves up to grow in the short term and the long term of hitting some of these long-term goals. I had another guy today that I saw got laid off from Enterprise. And so huge car company. I mean, they have incredible like training systems. This guy I talked to years ago about potentially coming on board with us. He's a business developer. And someone needs to hire this guy. Like, he got laid off, it sounds like, because just some corporate fear and restructuring because of COVID. Somebody needs to pick this guy up because he is a fantastic business developer. Yeah. And I think for entrepreneurs, there are all these opportunities out there right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. I think, you know, and during a downturn, there's always opportunities, right? That you just got to find them. You got to look at it. So in closing, so we're coming up to the end of our show here. So in closing, if there was one piece of leadership advice that you would give to an entrepreneur out there, or somebody that wants to start getting into buying businesses, what would that be?
Yeah, I'd say take some time to understand who you are and how you're built. And what gift sets you have. Everybody doesn't have every gift set. We're all created uniquely and differently. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was part of my journey, was figuring out kind of where I fit in the system and where do I, you know, I had friends, for instance, that work at SunTrust. They still work there and they're fantastic at their jobs at SunTrust. They do really great. They're not bored. They always hit their goals. They're paid really well. And when I was in that SunTrust job, again, I was so grateful for it, but I was pretty miserable. And for a long time, I beat myself up because I couldn't be like my friend Mark and Chris that are doing a really great, faithful job at SunTrust. And until I started to learn, like, that's just not my gift set. So I'm never going to actually be good at that job. That's when I started to take a different detour. And then Steve, that mentor. So I believe in mentorship. Steve did that, and I've got one now too, but someone that's older, that's been on earth a little bit longer than you, can be really helpful in trying to shine light in different areas that you may be blind to. And one of those big areas can be, hey, how am I built? Like what gift set do I have? What tools are in my toolbox, and how can I go use those? And that's what Steve 10 years ago helped me figure out. And kind of went on this wild journey of, let's go buy a business. Let's go figure out what that looks like. And let's not be afraid to fail.
I think the biggest piece that people need to understand, especially, you know, in school systems, because, you know, not everybody learns that way. Not everybody, you know, kind of experiences life different ways, right? And especially some people just want to jump out and do. And so understanding how you're wired, understanding how what gifts and talents that you have, and surrounding yourself with the people that offset some of those gifts and talents is really important, especially, you know, when you're being an entrepreneur, you may not have the experience. So seeking out a mentor, you know, to speak into your life, because they've already been through that. So great information, Billy. I really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Yeah, Chris, thanks for having me.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning into the episode. If you guys enjoyed it, show some love, give me a thumbs up, and subscribe. Also, make sure you check out our exclusive C-Level group on Facebook.